Amen. At this time, the children can be dismissed to Children's Church. As we start, we're going to be looking today at 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. But before we get started, just kind of want to do a little couple comments about sports camp this week and have our kids actually quote their verse for the week. It's a different verse than we're looking at this morning. Yeah, the kids just left. Okay, that's not going to work. Sorry, that seemed a better idea this morning. But anyways, we'll still do it. The adults know it. You know, this was a great week, and I do want to just thank again everyone that volunteered. Again, 60 kids pre-registered, average around 50 kids a week. We also had some of our preschool kids for the volunteers, cared for them as well. Nan Chapman has done that the last 2 years, and it's great to sneak out there and see what those kids were doing as well during the week. But it really was a great week, and I today what I'd like to do is kind of connect on those themes. I think it's an important theme for all of us, not just the kids that were involved. But as we do that, I just want to encourage you to be in prayer for all the kids that were here this week, that they not only walked away with a great week of fun, maybe even learned a bit about their sport, but more importantly, that maybe they heard a lot about God's love and the life that God calls us to. But we're going to kind of build on that today. The verse for this week was 1 Peter 3:15, and again, kids just left, so adults that were involved, you can help us. The key verse, it was each week. A couple people help me with emotions. A couple people stand where you are. I'll make Jana and Katie do it since they're standing at the front. Anyone else? Go ahead and turn and face everyone else. Okay, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give us the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and... Okay. Yeah, we learned this week the importance of practice and rehearsal. Okay. Let's try this again. I do this like I do marriage vows, short and sweet. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Amen. Okay. Well, like this week, really just focused on one key verse. There was other teaching. There were other Bible stories each night demonstrating the key point. We're going to look primarily at two verses today. And it's 1 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. And we're going to look at this and this idea of training. What does it mean to train yourself for godliness? But let's go ahead and look at 1 Timothy verses 4, or chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Verse 7 actually begins, and this connects it into the conversation that the Apostle Paul is having. He's challenging the readers and challenging Timothy and those that would read this letter, and challenging each one of us to make sure that what we believe is correct, that we don't give ourselves over to not only false doctrine and false beliefs, but things that really are not of significance, but to focus on the truth that had been communicated and taught. So that's what that first phrase says if you're following along in the Bible. It says, have nothing to do with irreverent or silly myths. But where we're going to pick up is here on this next phrase. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise to the present life and also for the life to come. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you again for this week. I thank you, Lord, for the kids that could be here to be playing in their sports and learning in those ways. But we also just thank you for the kids and what they've learned about living a life that you've called them to live, a life in relationship with your son Jesus and a life where we demonstrate your love, to others. And Lord, I just pray that today as we all reflect on these words and just building on this analogy of the athlete and the intentionality of training, Lord, just help us to each examine our own lives and examine our own hearts and how we are living. Lord, just to really reflect and understand whether or not there might need to be some change in our lives. Lord, that we'd be more intentional to train ourselves to live the life that you've called us to live. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we dive into this idea of training, and the key word in this passage being training, I just want to give kind of a very, very quick statement about how you begin the journey with Jesus. We're going to talk about our part in the work that we have to do and building discipline in our life and the training and the analogy that you see with an athlete being so intentional of training their body and training themselves to do whatever sport it is that they're learning. We're looking at a specific challenge that we have to have that same type of intentionality in how we train ourselves in our relationship with God. But we believe that God's word is very clear that beginning a relationship with God and that type of change in our life begins not based on what we do. It begins in putting our trust in what Jesus already did for us. That's where it all starts. We're kind of building on top of that today. But I just want to remind you that the Christian life and living a godly life begins not on our ability, does not begin on what we do. It's putting our trust and our faith in what Jesus did on the cross for us. Some verses that highlight that. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. What we deserve for our sin is death. But the good news in this verse is that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And not only did Jesus make the way, he took our sin upon himself on the cross so that we can be forgiven and enter into relationship with God. He's the bridge between God, our Heavenly Father, and us. Jesus came and lived a perfect life, took our sin upon himself that we might be forgiven. And everything we talk about today starts with that first step of coming to a place where you understand Jesus and what he did for you on the cross and putting your faith and trust in him. But, you know, sometimes when we talk about that, we forget that God doesn't just want to save us. He wants to change us. He loves us right where we are, but he loves us too much to keep us there. He wants to see change in us. And it's not just God doing that work in us. We also have to partner with that. Philippians 1:6 says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God is the one who saves us. God is the one that does the work to change us. And yet, this verse and many other verses in Scripture talk about our part, the work that we have to do to let God be free to do that work in us. So today, I just want to encourage you, if you're here today and the idea of a personal relationship with Jesus is something that's new, the idea of having a relationship with Christ and growing in a relationship with him and becoming more Christ-like is new, I encourage you to talk to me afterwards, talk to one of the leaders here. But I just want to encourage you to realize everything we did talk about today about training ourselves to be godly is all built upon that foundation of what Jesus did for us and putting our faith and our trust in him. But looking at this verse again, look at 1 Timothy 4:7-8 says, rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This idea, the word train here, I don't always pull out Greek, but the Greek word here is gymnazo. What does that sound like? Some of the kids. Gymnastics, gymnasium. It's the idea, so the word at its heart is the idea of exercise. The idea from this word is to exercise or train, and most often would have been used to describe the physical exercise of an athlete, whether that be a runner or a wrestler or whatever it might be. The idea of train here is giving us that idea of that intentional exercise, that intentional training to prepare an athlete. And in this verse, the word is telling us, is using that word to talk about how we need to be training ourselves for godliness. That the change, God wants to create a change in us. And as we walk in relationship with Christ, he wants to create a change in us. But there's some things that we have to do to let God begin that work in us. The idea of this training is to develop a person's not only what they believe, but how they live. So it's developing a person's behavior with instruction and practice. Every night this week, the kids, whatever sport they pick, whether it was cheerleading or soccer, football or basketball, they got a little bit of instruction, but it wouldn't have been real helpful had they just sat in a classroom and said, this is what you do to dribble a basketball. They had to practice it. They had to actually live it out. They had to do it. That's the idea of this type of exercise. It's not only instruction, learning something new, but it's putting it into practice so that you're training yourself, you're growing and becoming better at whatever it is that you're learning. The idea of training yourself for godliness, the word that's translated godliness here can mean piety, but it's basically the idea that encompasses not only what we believe, but the way that we live. So it's right belief, but it's also right living. So we're being told, Paul's telling us here, that we need to be intentional. We need to be training and practicing and exercising in some way on a spiritual level that we have right beliefs, but that we're also living a life that God has called us to live. When we think about the athletes, we know that there's all sorts of illustrations of how an athlete trains. An athlete trains by running, by jumping, by practicing the skills of whatever the sport is. I just want you to think for a moment, what are some things you can do spiritually to be exercising? What are the things that we can be practicing as a follower of Christ to grow in our relationship with Christ and to grow in godliness? Just some short thoughts here. One of the most important things is to understand that a church exists to not only help the world to know who Christ is, but when people come to follow Christ, to help the follower of Christ grow to become more like Christ. The purpose of the church, we don't go here to check it off our list. We don't come to church to check it off our list to say, okay, I came to church to make God happy today. We dive into fellowship within a church because we want to grow in our relationship with God. We connect with a church family because we know that we need to have a church that can build us up, can encourage us and support us through God's word and through the fellowship. It's critical that, and that's one of the most important things in our spiritual life, if we're going to train ourselves for godliness, is that we prioritize being a part of a healthy church, whether it's this church or another church, a church that focuses on God's word and how you can have a personal relationship with Him and grow in that relationship. Today, I just want to encourage you to look at your own life and look at your schedule and say, am I exercising in this way spiritually? Am I making it a priority to be actively involved in the life of a healthy church so that I can grow and become more Christ-like? In all of that, not only relying on a church, but in your own life, one of the spiritual exercises we can do is to be in God's Word, to open up God's Word every day, to be reading it. Like the kids memorized the scripture this week, the kids that I sent out before they had a chance to demonstrate that they memorized that. Learning God's Word is something that can transform us. We also need to learn to pray, and that's basically just talking with God. Being intentional in doing these things. We also need to be intentional in the idea of service. Are there places in your spiritual life that you're practicing service? We have to transition this idea of thinking that somehow we do go to church, that we open up the Bible, that we talk to God, or that we serve others as something that we're just checking off to make God happy. Part of the reason we do those things is so that we grow and we become more like Jesus. They're the things that we need. That's the type of things that we need to do, kind of our spiritual gymnasium that we have to embrace to grow and become more like Him. You know, years ago in my previous church, there were a number of families that took a challenge. It was called the Family Night Challenge. And the commitment was one night a week, you set aside all other activity, and you had an evening that you had to eat together in the same room at the same table. Have to clarify that today. It's not, I mean, a lot of times families are all spread out throughout the house, but they ate together, they would pray together, and so worship or pray together, and that was something we would provide, just very simple things. Often it was stuff from their Sunday school classes, but it was something short, something simple, and I know in our family, often we'd have the kids lead it, because it was just a guide along the back. But then there was a play together. So it was an eat together, worship together, play together. You know, as we met monthly and talked about this as families and how it was the challenges with it. And I remember one of the things we did during that coaching time with the families was I had them do an assessment, like a survey, and they were asked to prioritize the things that were most important about the development of their kids. And their spiritual development, their academic development, their athletic or their academic development or their athletic development, a couple other things. And what was amazing was the survey consistently showed that what the parents wanted was to have spiritual priorities at the top. But the tension that they had in the schedules, as they looked at their schedules and their time, was the spiritual was not a priority in how they planned their week and planned their schedule. And so there was this, their priorities, what they said was important, didn't match the priorities that they were living out each day and each week. So I just want to ask you, if your development spiritually is important, are you making an investment in your growth and relationship with Christ? Are you making an investment in the parents here? Are you prioritizing as a family? Are you making the priority as a family to say, we want to grow as a family in our relationship with Christ, and we're going to prioritize that spiritual development over the other types of development? We need all of it. We need to be growing in body. We know Jesus grew physically. He grew emotionally. He grew spiritually. And yet, our spiritual commitments and priority often get relegated to second place in our life and the lives of our family. Just want to ask you on a personal level, though, are you being intentional? Key word today, intentionality. Are you being intentional to train yourself, and those of you that have responsibility for young ones, are you being intentional with the training of the young people in your life, your kids, or those that you have responsibility for? Verse 8 goes on to highlight another thing with this. It says, "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Now, it's in no way is it discounting physical exercise and the development and bodily training, but it's showing its limitations. Bodily training, physical exercise, benefits this life. There's plenty of other places in Scripture we can talk about the fact that we are to be taking care of the body. We're to be taking care of the temple. We need to be taking care of ourselves and how we eat and how we exercise and caring for the body. But when you compare bodily exercise, bodily training to spiritual exercise, it doesn't matter if you're physically fit or not physically fit, we're all going to have a final breath. And when we come to the end of this life, that physical training it may help us through some difficult physical challenges, and yet in the end we know that bodily training has its limit and its value, whereas godly training for godliness, training in our relationship with God, benefits not only this life, but it benefits us in the life to come. Jesus described why he came. Jesus described in John 10:10, he said, "The thief came only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Following Christ is not just about waiting for the next life, waiting for heaven. Following Christ is about experiencing an abundant and full life now. As we walk with him, we know his presence, we know his voice, we experience his presence in our life. That's benefit now, but it's also the hope of eternity to know that our future in heaven is secure. Bodily exercise limits only this life, or benefits only this life, while godliness and the development of godliness in our life benefits this life and the next. Romans 6:23 that I quoted earlier says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord." We can experience Jesus in our life now. We can experience his presence in the joy and that abundant life that Jesus promised. But we also have that hope of a future life with him in eternity. You know, in presenting the challenge to train ourselves for godliness, I think one of the things Paul is, two primary emphases, I think, of what is being focused on here is one is showing the priority of spiritual training over physical training. But there's also this, and Paul does this again and again. We looked at this in our opening verse for today, the Hebrews passage. Throughout the New Testament, we see images, athletic images, to give us a picture of how we are to live the Christian life. And so while the focus, primary focus here is saying that it's greater value to develop and exercise spiritually, there's something we can learn about how an athlete trains, of how we can train ourselves and grow in our walk with God and grow spiritually. Through all of this, the key is intentionality, but this is where I just want to kind of recap where we were this week with our mega points. Next time we'll keep the kids in for this. But you know, our mega points, every night remain anonymous because I think he wants to remain anonymous, but we had someone that, since some of the kids are in here, they may not know who Mega was. But we had a guy dressed in a blue outfit that was Mega, and anytime he would point, the kids had to yell their mega point. And so there were five mega points that the kids learned. And as we think about the idea of intentionality, of training ourselves to be godly, to train ourselves in our walk with God, of being intentional on our part, knowing it's God that does the work in us, but we have to be intentional on our part to let him do that work in us. I'm going to review each of those points and just talk a little bit about that. One of the first points that the first point the kids learned this week was to prepare. And the mega point was prepare, get ready, the game is coming. And it's amazing, one of the reasons we moved the sports camp from August to September was to have some of our high school kids be able to be involved, because by August they're doing two-a-days, three-a-days, and whatever their sports. And it was great to see some of our kids. We had at least three of our high school kids that will be playing in some sport this fall that were involved in helping this week. Bryce was helping with the soccer. Brady helping with basketball. Solomon Gross was out helping with the football team in the practice this week. And, you know, if you think about whatever sports might be starting in the fall, as a spectator, we can go and we can think, oh, isn't this great? The kids are on the football field. They're ready to play. They're on the basketball court later this year, and they're ready to play. Or on the soccer field, they're ready to play. Well, what often is not seen is the work that's being done in June, July, and August to prepare them to play the game. And I know every one of those athletes that I just mentioned are already doing conditioning, already doing work to prepare for this fall. And it's a lot of hard work, but it's preparation. You know, I think we live in a microwave culture. I remember when we first got our first microwave at home. The idea that I could just put food in and within 30 seconds or a few minutes have food, that was pretty novel. I mean, it was amazing when you think about it. But we're at a point now that if we have to wait and we go through the drive-through, if it takes more than 5 minutes, we're freaking out. We're like, why is this supposed to be fast food? Or we don't understand why if we put something, or we want something now. We don't understand why there has to be a delay or any sort of wait. And yet spiritually, just like an athlete knows, they can't just get on the field and expect to play. They have to put in the hard work. They have to put in the time to prepare to play. Spiritually, there's no microwave Christianity. You have to walk through difficult times and learn what it means to have a God that you can hold on to and to trust. You have to be in his word, studying his word, learning about who he is and his plan for your life. You need to be taking the time to be in fellowship with other Christians and doing all these type of spiritual exercises that we talked about a moment ago. We do those things to prepare us to live the life that Christ has called us to live. If you're here today and you look at your life and say, I don't see much change in my life. Maybe some of you have come to a point that you made the decision to follow Jesus, and you look back and whether that was a year ago, 5 years ago, 30 years ago, you don't see a lot of change in your life. I want to ask you, what are you doing to prepare? What are you doing behind the scenes to grow in your relationship with him? Second point, was that we need to focus. We need to get ready to focus on the game. Now, I helped Bryce. Bryce did most of the teaching with the soccer, he and Amanda. But after 2 years of trying to teach the real young kids to play soccer, it was bringing back some memories of when both of my kids were in tiny kickers. And it probably about 3 or 4 years before it resembled soccer. But, you know, as you try to help children understand a game, it's based on their age or their development, it can be really hard to get a younger kid really be able to focus. So you have to kind of give them just a little bit to work on, because if they're not going to understand the full dynamics of the game. But an athlete doesn't enter a game without knowing what the win is. An athlete always knows the win. They know what they need to do to focus, and so they can focus their energies and focus their entire attention on the win. The Apostle Paul, I think, clarifies the win for every believer in Philippians 3, 7 and 8. He says, But whatever gain I had, I counted a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Beyond anything else, our focus as a follower of Christ is Jesus. Knowing him more, growing in a relationship with him, and going deeper in a relationship with him. I think if you were to expand that a little bit, a twofold focus is to know Christ and to make Christ known. That's what a follower of Christ is to do. Where Jesus, remember, he called his disciples. He said, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. It's always about orienting our whole life around Jesus and learning to love and to worship Christ, so that then he can use us to be a blessing to others and to go out and impact the lives of others, to know Christ and to make him known. Spiritually, if you're not seeing a lot of change in your life, I want to ask you, what's your focus? Are you focused on Jesus? Are you focused on knowing Jesus more, hearing his voice, being in his word? Are you focused on knowing Christ and making Christ known? Third point, kids this week were taught about the importance of encouragement. And we're told to encourage, that we need to get ready to encourage my teammates. And you know, sometimes I think we lose sight of what the church really is supposed to be. That was awesome this morning. I don't know which kids were cheering. But the idea of cheering each other in our worship and living the Christian life, that's a good thing. And that's a part of it. Too often people view church as just a place that they go and forget that church is really about a relationship not only with Christ, but with other followers of Christ who are on this journey to know Christ and to make Christ known. As we grow in him, we need it. I thank God every day that God has not called me to walk this journey alone. He's called us to walk it together. We're on the same team. And so there are days that we need encouragement. There are days, Jim, in your coaching, your basketball teams, there are times you have to tell a kid a difficult thing to kind of pick it up, work a little harder. Sometimes, yeah. What was his answer? Okay. Yeah, I mean, when you're coaching, sometimes it's an encouragement. You see something that's going well, and you give him a pat on the back. You say, great job. But a coach also sometimes has to come alongside and say, you're really lazy. I mean, how are you showing up to practice? Are you doing the things you need to do to develop and to grow? As Christians, most of us don't want anyone looking at us and saying, you're just really lazy. And yet, we need to put our lives in a place where we have relationship beyond just Sunday morning. You need to get connected to a small group or get connected to a Sunday school class. Get connected intentionally with a few other believers that can call you out at times. And to not just encourage you and to love you, but sometimes to look you in the eye and say, man, you got this wrong. You need to really look at this area in your life. You need to pray about this. You need to, and someone to really, I mean, to challenge you. No athlete is ever going to reach their full potential unless they have other athletes that are going to challenge them and really get in their face and push them to be better. As Christians, we need people like that in our life. With love. That doesn't. For those of you that want to go out and say, it's my spiritual ministry now to go out and challenge everyone, that's not what you have to earn a right to be speaking into people's lives in that way. I think this puts more of a responsibility on each of us to invite some people. Invite some people to speak blunt, in a blunt way to you about where you are with God and your relationship with Him. I've been very grateful over the years. Some of you have met Wayne. Wayne has spoken at some of the retreats in our district. Wayne Younger and I have been prayer partners since, it's been a lot of years, since our freshman year in college. And there's not one question Wayne can't ask me. There's not one question that I can't ask Wayne. And there have been times where we've had to ask each other some difficult questions and to push. Because we need teammates not just to love and encourage, to pat on the back. We also need teammates that are going to push us. Push us to grow and go deeper in our relationship with Christ. Two more points from the week. Change. How many of you like change? No one raised their hand. Most people, and typically the older you get, change is something that's more difficult and something you struggle with more, especially when the world around us is changing so much. But the reality is when we enter into a relationship with God, when we decide, make the decision to trust Christ and to follow Christ, that whole process is a process of change. And this week, as we talked about change and get ready to change the game, the focus was a lot on the idea of making an impact in the game, to change the direction of if a team was losing, to change the momentum, to be in a winning posture as a team. But, you know, what I find in my own life is that change really begins on a personal level. Change begins on a personal level where we look at our own lives and examine our own lives and say, what needs to be different? And open up God's Word and read God's Word, not just to affirm the way we're living, but to read God's Word to say, is there anything in my life that needs to be different? We don't adjust God's Word to fit our lifestyle. We change our lifestyle to fit God's Word. And we have to be intentional to consistently get into God's Word, to adjust our life to follow Him. The idea of change, I think back when I was in high school, I played tennis. And I remember my freshman year, there was a group of nine freshmen that went out. I think there were as many other kids on the team. It was a really large group that went out freshman year. And I was the top freshman that year, but that was not saying much because we were horrible. Most of us were just hacks. We were out playing. None of us had had any training. A lot of us were friends and we just started playing tennis. Between my freshman and sophomore year, I had an opportunity to work with a retired gentleman in town who was a tennis instructor, and I can't imagine what this would have cost had he actually charged me, but he made himself available to any of this group of freshmen who would want to work to grow and become a better tennis player, and there were two of us that took advantage of that, and I remember that summer, the first week was painful. Because he took everything about my game and destroyed it. And that was for a good reason. And I can still remember the first couple of days, I don't even know if I had really played a game of tennis. We're next to a fence and working on our motion or swing and doing all these things. And it was like reprogramming my mind to play differently. And so the first week or two, it was really painful because it was kind of the undoing everything that I had learned. And then he started working on building new forward stroke, backhand, all the different things I needed to learn. He gradually built those things and put them into place. That by the end of the summer, I was a totally different player. And my potential as a tennis player was significantly greater because I actually learned how to play tennis rather than just being out and hacking the ball around. In our life spiritually, there are things in your life that if you look and you're honest about your life, you know that there's change that's needed. And there are some things that you need to just give to God and let Him take them. Let him begin to take those things out of your life to let, and you have to be willing to let go so that God can then begin to teach you new things. In whatever areas of your life, sometimes the reason we can't do the things we want to do spiritually is because we're holding on to a lot of junk that God is just saying, let go of it. Give it to me so that you can trust me and walk with me, and he will begin to train you and help you grow into a person who reflects the character of Christ. As we do that, as we experience that type of change, that brings us to the last mega point. Get ready to influence the wind. You know, the kids this week learned about Esther and how Esther was put in a specific place in history to save the Israelites. Great story. If you've not read Esther, encourage you. It's a short book. I encourage you to check it out. Key phrase that, if you know the story, one of the most famous phrases out of the book of Esther is, for such a time as this. That Esther understood that God had put her in a specific place, a specific time, to give her influence to save her people. Athletes exercise influence, and the reality is every one of us exercises influence to some level. I don't follow basketball as much beyond the college game, but as I was hearing a lot this year with the NBA finals, I was hearing a lot of debate and discussion on who was the better player, LeBron or, going back to the 90s, Michael Jordan. Some of you that do follow basketball, you probably have an opinion on that. But one of the key things that came up in every discussion that I read or heard about this was not just their personal ability to play the game, but their ability to make the people around them better. Their influence. That was something that was being described for both players as determining which was the better player, not just based on what they could do, but how they influenced the people around them. Your life is influencing other people, whether you know it or not. If you've got kids in your home, your life is shaping them. If you've got people that you work with, that you're rubbing shoulders with on a regular basis, your life is influencing them. The question is not whether you have influence or don't have influence. The question is, what type of influence do you have? Are you influencing people in a way that points them to Jesus and the love that he has for us, and points them to the life that God is calling us to live? Just want to ask you today, as you think about maybe the need for change in your life, as you think about influence and the influence that you're having, is who are you influencing? How is your life influencing others? And does there need to be a change in how you're living your life in front of others? Today, as we close, I just want to repeat the verse again, 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I just want to encourage you today that wherever you're at in your understanding of who Jesus is and what it means to have a relationship with him, I hope and I pray that each of you will take a step closer to him this morning. That if there's something you need to get rid of in your life, to let go of it. If you need to be more intentional to be in his word, to be more intentional to be active in a church fellowship, whatever it is that God is speaking to you about, step up your game. Be more intentional to allow yourselves to be trained in godliness. For 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 says, rather train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds the promise for this present life and for the life to come. Will you pray with me? I ask the musicians to come. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the challenge in your word, Lord. While we put our full faith and trust in what you, Jesus, did on the cross for us, you also call us to surrender. You call us to follow. These words are very clear that we're told to train ourselves to be godly, which means that the part of our life, there needs to be discipline and there needs to be intentionality and focus in knowing Christ and making Christ known. Lord, I just pray that wherever each of us are at in our relationship with you today, that you would point out some very specific things that we might need to let go of, Or, Lord, if there's some places in our life that we've been kind of laxed and maybe even lazy, Lord, that you would point those things out, Lord, that we would repent of those things and that we would pursue you, Lord, with fervor, with intentionality, that we would desire to grow in our walk with you and do whatever is necessary to become more like you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You choose the humble and raise them high. You choose the weak and make them strong. You heal our brokenness inside and give us life, the same love that set the captives free, the same love that often has to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The same God that spread the heavens wide, the same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. You take the faith that's won aside and speak the words, you are mine. You call the cynic and the proud, come to me now. The same love that set the captives free, the same love that has to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. The same God that spread the heavens wide, the same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. You're calling us to the cross. 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 The same love that set the captives free, the same love that happened us to see is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. Oh, the same God that spread the heavens wide, the same God that was crucified is calling us all by name. You are calling us all by name. You're calling us to the cross.
Being called to the cross is a place of surrender, a place of death. Really, that's the key point of what is God's part versus our part, of us surrendering our hearts or our lives to Him who gave His life for us. so that he can begin to do a work in us, not just to save us, but begin to transform us from the inside out into people who reflect Jesus. That's what this world needs, more people that reflect Jesus, who is full of grace and truth. This world is crying for people who reflect grace and truth. And it begins with surrender, being willing to do whatever it takes to grow, to become more like Christ in our life. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for each person here, Lord. If there's anyone here that does not yet know you, Lord, I just pray that they would just be overwhelmed with your love, with the love, Father, that you have for them. Lord, you call us. You've called us by name. And Lord, I just pray for anyone that's here that has never heard you call them by name, Lord, today that they would sense your love and that they would respond. Talk to me. Talk to one of the leaders here. But Lord, I just pray for all of us that we be willing to lay down our lives anew, to do whatever it takes, Lord, to grow in our relationship with you, Lord, that we might know Christ and make Christ known in this world. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.